For March the 27th, 2020, we talk about the Resident Evil 3 Remake demo, State of Decay 2, and we ask you about your favorite games for coping with social distancing. Additionally, there was some kind of recording or encoding error that resulted in David's voice kind of drifting back and forth between regular and much lower than it actually is. I did everything I could to fix it where it showed up. However, it might pop up, so don't be alarmed if you hear that. Welcome to Level 322. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I am David Moneysmith.
And I'm Ben Merkel.
And you are listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. This is strange because we record this every Monday. I don't want to be a straight up bummer by talking about the thing that is on everybody's mind. However, it feels wildly different week to week, to the point where I can't actually remember where things were the last time we talked.
Yeah.
It's very bizarre not having a good idea of where the world will be in 4 days from now when this is released, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I forget if I said this exactly, you know, when this comes out on Thursday or whatever for the early release folks. Yeah. It's like, you know, I forget if I said this on the show or the, you know, this show, but like the only thing you can know when you're on an exponential curve is that tomorrow, the only thing you know about tomorrow is it'll be more and different. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. It's all you can take for granted is more and different.
I will say it is also a bit ironic that this show is probably like the one piece of my life that has changed the least in the 2 weeks. Like, you know, everything we do is kind of fits really nicely into the shelter in place bubble. Yeah. So, yes. Now obviously there's some larger network stuff that's getting shuffled.
Right.
But, it's this weirdly consistent touch point, in my life. Hopefully it's the same for you guys and for our listeners, and hopefully that's comforting, but everything else shuffled.
Just all up in the air. Yeah. I mean, like, I don't have an awful lot in the way of like catching up or, you know, things for the banter. Like, I don't know. I am super fortunate to be in the situation where stuff doesn't necessarily have to change. You know, it just, the entire workflow has basically been designed for shelter in place or quarantine without us intending to do that. So there is this consistency here, which is nice, but also like checking in once every week when things are changing so quickly is very disorienting.
Yeah.
Yeah. David, you're out there in New York. What's happening there? Well, what's going on with you?
Honestly, not a lot is happening, and that's kind of the news. things are just very, very quiet. You know, not so. There's been a little, you know, some fairly significant spike in people, you know, unemployment, you know, people, you know, using the charity services in town, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's still kind of in the category of like things are just kind of waiting and seeing.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, all things considered is probably, you know, not a horrible thing for not a horrible situation for things to be in.
Right. Yeah. So understand that one of the answers to this question is going to be playing video games. We have a whole section for that. How are you doing passing the time being in your apartment all the time out there?
You know, doing pretty well. You know, actually did some martial arts practice with one of my friends via video. And then just been doing a lot of craft projects I've been meaning to do.
Hmm.
So learned how to do. Have you ever heard of coxcombing? Which is basically how to like cord wrap like a knife handle or things like that. Or like
I can picture what you're talking about, but
yeah. So it's what they used to do on like Age of Sail ships.
Mm-hmm.
So it's I learned to do that in terms
is this
of
like the just non-sarcastic version of basket weaving.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
Also seems to have an added benefit. If anyone breaks into your apartment, they will just slowly back away.
Yeah, that a knife. May or may not have been related.
Yeah. Well, sounds like you're making the most of it.
Yeah.
You know. I was happy that you finished the I did martial arts with a friend with over video.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. It's
kind of funny. It's I actually have a little bit of a history of that because like the style I do is much bigger in Indonesia than it is in America.
Mm-hmm.
And I have friends I've done with martial arts with all the different places in America I've lived, and then also the group I'm a part of right now. The Dog Brothers is to a significant degree like a lot of different martial artists who basically wanted to do more realistic sparring. And so, kind of came together to learn despite not necessarily living in the same place.
Right.
So one of the good things is I have a ton of resources in terms of, remote training.
Mm-hmm.
So in that respect, I'm actually in relatively good shape.
Yeah.
See, I was really hoping for social distance martial arts, where I shared a Reddit link of a pretty funny example of that. But
someone also posted. I have no idea if do you guys know what like a no touch knockout is?
No.
Okay.
Is that where your opponent has a heart attack when they step into the ring?
Basically, there's people that claim that, they can use chi to, knock someone out, without even making contact with them or just with making light contact, pressure point stuff.
I think I read about that. Like, a lot of that ends up being, weird Chinese government propaganda, actually.
Yeah. I mean, it's it's a lot of that. I think historically a lot of it probably comes from instances like way back in the day when there wasn't a war going on, the martial artists had to make money, so they became street performers. So it was basically like magic.
Yeah.
Magic meaning, like illusion.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. But it's kind of a laughing stock, it's part of the martial arts culture. There's been some notable examples where like one of these guys has challenged a boxer or a mixed martial artist and it hasn't gone well. With all this, people are posting now, the day for no touch knockouts is finally come.
Oh geez. Ben, how about you? How are you managing over there in Seattle?
Yeah. So I think it'll be week three, tomorrow or the day after, as mm-hmm. far as working from home and for the most part being inside my apartment.
Yeah.
I did go to the store today. I think even right now as we speak, our governor is talking about a stay at home verdict or whatever,
mm-hmm.
For Seattle. So I got some groceries to kind of stock up for the week because I figured that maybe it'll be pretty busy from here on out.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, I've been exercising on the row machine, so that's been really nice. I mm-hmm. tore a callus today, so that's how much I've been doing. I'm just doing it once a day for the most part.
Yeah. But, always sucks, though.
Yeah, I'm not happy about it, but I'm like glad that I'm doing it enough so that it's effective, quote unquote. I don't know. I'll just wear gloves the next time that I do it. But anyway, yeah, I guess this is the time to talk to it. It's kind of been weird the way you I think I've socialized more in the past couple of weeks than I have typically. But it's with people from like across the country. I think everyone's just kind of in the same boat right now. So yeah. I do think it's cool, like the technology that's developing for this. My one admission is one of the things I've been doing is I've been doing a Netflix party and watching Love is Blind with some friends, which is the trashiest of trashy TV shows.
Monster.
But it's a lot of fun to watch and make fun of. I did this with Jersey Shore way back in the day in college. So it's kind of this scratches a similar itch. I don't really advocate that it's a good show or worth watching or anything like that, but it's fun to make fun of. So,
yeah. When you cry at the finale, I'm gonna know.
Yeah, I'll live stream it, I guess.
Yeah, I can't minor spoiler for that. Not.
No, don't. Wow, spoil the
y'all
show.
y'all are watching it. Wow.
Remember who you're asking, David.
Don't spoil the show for me.
Yeah, no, this is personal. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I'm on episode 5. I don't want to hear anything from 5 or after.
He's only watching it ironically, remember.
Well, you can ironically care about something. It doesn't mean you don't care. Unless that's specifically what it means and I've misunderstood it.
in the
way I make fun of the show is on the fly. I don't want pre-canned jokes.
No, you don't show up to a rap battle with pre-written material.
I was going to recommend the Other Guys, wherein the angry cop played by Mark Wahlberg learns to dance ballet ironically to show off his girlfriend's dance.
That's not a good movie. The only funny part in that movie, who are the competent cops that they replace?
I quite enjoy that movie.
Okay,
you're gonna have to give some rationale there.
Oh, I just didn't care for it. I didn't think it. I only thought there was one funny part, which is where The Rock and Samuel L. Jackson just like I mean, this is a joke from the first third of the movie where they're like on their mission and they go to do a brave move, you know, just like to catch the perp, and it just amounts to them jumping off of a skyscraper while Foo Fighters My Hero plays.
That's what you sold you on it is the Foo Fighters.
No, it was just really funny. I was like, okay, how are they going to get out of this? Oh, they're just dumb. Okay.
Just not going to. Yeah. I would put it above Step Brothers.
Whoa. Yeah. I can't get behind you on that.
I was not a fan of Step Brothers. So Will Ferrell just kind of has a broad range and we're all going to have to find our own niche in it.
Yeah. No, he's put out a lot of stuff. Yeah. how are you doing, Dennis?
Good. I mean, my adventure has been marshaling 2 kids while Jen and I try to full-time work from home. Which is it's gone surprisingly well, but we're also 1 week in. So. Yeah.
Do they understand what like daddy's on a phone meeting means?
Kinda, but they understand that to mean come ham it up in the background for the people.
Gotcha.
Because they get some positive reactions.
Right. I mean, they are actually making life better for the coworkers as long as they're not interrupting the conversation. Yeah.
But yeah, they've been pretty good about that. The thing, and again, this is that time is weird. I can't remember if I talked about this. We set up a very rudimentary schedule for them. So it's like, you know, 9 o'clock circle time, 10 o'clock art project, 11 o'clock play outside. Mm-hmm. It's like that level. And you would think we had put the 10 commandments up on the wall.
Ooh.
Like this was all it took to get them obedience, and I missed it for 4 years now. I can't believe it. But it's like, you know, they'll be like, I don't want to go outside, or I don't want to take a nap, and you just, I'm sorry, that's what the schedule says we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. And then they're totally cool with it. So I don't know why that works, but just having it up on the wall, maybe appealing to an authority outside of us. They haven't connected that we made the schedule.
Right. Yeah.
But it's the schedule is up there, and they have been really, really just sweethearts about sticking with that schedule.
The thing is, if you break from that once, they will understand that it's all a lie.
Yeah, we are beholden now. But yeah, that's worked pretty well. And I think it's just because everyone is in this situation, everyone is super accommodating about having kids running around the house.
Yeah.
And that was at a company that's super accommodating of family life already. So that's, you know, we are set up for success about as well as we can. And it's been fun. You know, it's, there's been a lot of bonding.
You get to spend time with your necessity. Kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's been my week. Mostly managing that.
Cool. Yeah, and like I said, I've really, I mean, things have kind of continued to pace. It's weird, you know, because I moved in 2018 partly to be closer to family, you know, just a thing I did, and now even though I'm less than a 5-minute drive from most of my family, I might as well be 1,000 miles away.
Oh no!
It's actually very funny.
Oh gosh!
Yeah.
So, are you getting your video conference time with them then?
No, we're just doing phone. That's
okay. Well, that's easy enough.
I already talked to my mom like 2 times a day anyway. I talked to my brother, you know, 2-3 times. So like that's not necessarily changed. So
yeah.
Have you guys had an experience or an uptick in like group text conversations of like your friend groups and family groups?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I already actually have a fair amount of that, although we use WeChat or WhatsApp or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No. Again, remember the things haven't changed appreciably for me, so I cannot answer the group text question. Yeah. Oh, anyway, well, that was a fair amount of banter, us catching up. Who knows how true any of this will be by the time the episode comes out, but that is just the world that we live in. I think that we should get going with a regular kind of show. We've got we've got the grind, the multiplayer, and then the end boss. And I would say we should get started with...
The Grind.
The Grind, where we talk about the games we have been playing over the past period of time or so. Dennis, you were not here last week, so I will throw to you.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, I've been playing a shit ton of Jackbox games.
Oh, yeah.
And I imagine a lot of people have done that, but turns out that is the perfect tool for exactly such a time as this. So that's been fun. I went from owning just the first pack to owning now 1, 3, and 6. Research says that was the right way to go. And I've done Jackbox with my Bible study. I've done Jackbox with my family. I've done Jackbox with the neighborhood. It's just this. It is Jackbox's time to shine.
Nice.
That's been a lot of fun. Yeah. We kind of have our Jackbox arrangement for our living room now, where it's like, you know where to put the camera, you know where to put the microphone and all that. I'm getting my spiel for helping unacquainted people, you know, figure out how the hell to, wait, you mean you need a computer screen and a phone screen and you know, all that. Like I'm getting good at it. So, I have not yet done one with Duckfeed. However, it seems like there's plenty of appetite, and I anticipate that will happen a lot in the future.
Yeah. No, I'll. So when I schedule the monthly Jackbox night that we do for patrons, I'll let you guys know. We've started getting more people into Discord when doing streams and stuff. So at the very least, it'll be fun to hang out. But yeah. No, that's cool. Like what have been some standout games for the people you're playing with most?
Yeah, Quiplash and Push the Button have been our go-tos.
Oh, wow. So Push the Button, when we tried doing that purely on stream, that did not end up working out very well.
Of timing or
Did you have everyone on voice chat?
No, we were just dealing with the community. So that like that seems to be the necessary part, because you can talk decisions through. Whereas, you know, if everybody is just kind of making their own guess, you're gonna never airlock people, you know.
You're never going to push the button.
Yes. yeah. So that makes more sense to me. So how salty did people get?
It stayed pretty amicable. The biggest surprise, so I guess it's Quiplash 2 and Push the Button. Mm-hmm. The biggest surprise for me was how deranged our neighborhood got, how fast. Like, these are people that I live around, and some of them I'm really close friends with, but then we just had other people calling in that, like, I've seen their name on Facebook and but you know nowhere else.
Yeah.
And it was like straight to semen, guys.
Yay.
The worst thing to, you know, end that sentence literally anyway, and it's semen is the answer.
Yes, so, yes.
And then coronavirus jokes are the other easy button.
Yes, yeah.
It was a great time every time we've done it, mm-hmm. and I anticipate continuing to do it. So that's Jackbox 1, 3, and 6, and then I believe PSA. If you haven't heard yet, Drawful 2. And Drawful is hands down my favorite Jackbox game, is free on Steam for like the next week or so.
Oh, damn.
The time nice. That this goes up. Yeah. So yeah. Nab that if you don't feel like dropping money. But if you do feel like dropping money, it's totally worth it for any of the Jackbox games.
I like Drawful a lot. But when I do them on stream, there is a contingent of folks who really, really don't like drawing. So like any of the games that require that have had, you know, heavy, you know, artistic portion to them, Drawful, the like prototyping one, like the weird product pitch one in Jackbox 5,
yep.
I think.
Yep. Yep.
And TKO, all of those kind of end up being ones that I only do sparingly just to make people not have to break out a, you know, yeah. like a stylus or mm-hmm. whatever.
I will say the longer I've gone having people on video chat just to be able to like hear them laugh in reaction to stuff
yes.
does so much for the experience. Like that winds yeah. up being really important.
Yeah.
So I was going to ask about that. What's your setup like when you're doing this?
So far I've done it through Zoom and I just have a bar of everyone participating usually along the bottom, but the people calling in can put that bar wherever they want. And then the full screen game shared. We are projecting the screen up onto our TV and we have the camera looking down on the living room, kind of just on the couch in the whole room. Cause we'll have Luke and Myla running around and we'll get up and move around. So,
okay.
It's kind of a wider shot. And that seems to work really well.
Sweet.
Mike on the left side of the couch.
Yeah.
Because that's as far as I can get it with the USB cord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and don't try to order a replacement one on Amazon. It won't get there till May.
No. Well, I just upgraded my computer for Diabotical, if you remember the last time I was
on.
Yes, yeah. And I'm glad I did it when I did, because the parts would be at the bottom of the priority list now. Mm-hmm. But hey, that's the next thing that I've been playing. as long as people are done with Jackbox.
We'll be circling back to it later, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, sure. So, I've been playing lots of Diabotical. This is the spiritual successor to Quake. It was in closed beta the past 3 weeks or so. And this is like real, real closed beta. Some stuff still feels wonky. Not the kind of, hey, we're going to say this is in beta, but put it out and it's kind of done.
Yeah.
That you see a lot of games doing now. Closed beta, or excuse me, beta is now kind of a just permission to update willy-nilly.
Yeah.
Which is fine for some games. This is truly kind of came out pretty unpolished.
Mm-hmm.
The core game is a ton of fun. It's that arena first-person shooter, you know, adrenaline rush that is really enjoyable. But there's just some stuff that feels off. Namely the rockets, which, you know, Quake and rockets go hand in hand. So it is so important to get those right.
Yeah.
Are simultaneously overpowered and feel really bad. when you click to fire, it feels like the rocket inside your launcher is caught by surprise every time. Like it just feels weird. Like there's a little bit of lag where it's like, oh, you wanted me to go now. Okay. And then, you know, when you're trying to lead people that are moving very quickly, it is, you know, very important that feels, really smooth. On top of that, it's not a bad thing, but they just move a little bit slower than they do in Quake, which, you know, for anyone that is playing based off of muscle memory from Quake, that just feels really weird to the point where if you're falling at any kind of clip, and fire a rocket, you'll kind of fall alongside it, which just is odd.
Weird.
Yeah, it's Yeah, it's kind of wonky.
That's literally how physics works, though.
But that's not how fun physics in games generally work.
Yeah. You didn't drop the rocket. You fired the rocket.
Yes, there's a propeller.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're saying if you fire it downwards?
If you fire the rocket downwards, you can look to your right and just fall like the rocket is moving alongside you.
Wow. Okay, no, that is not how physics works. That is the opposite of how physics works.
Now, they've done some things really, really right, though, and that makes the core game there so much fun. Probably the biggest improvement over the Quake formula is the addition of a dodge button. So in Quake, you kind of use jump strafing to get up speed and move around the level quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But you kind of need to slowly build that momentum or launch a rocket into the wall to vault you forward to get you moving at speed. Whereas in Diabotical, there's just a button that has a cooldown, but you can press that and it launches you forward at full speed immediately, which just it gives you so many more options. You know, you can use it for mobility, which is probably 80% of what you're doing. But then you can also use it in sniper battles to kind of jump out from your cover real quickly, try to get the edge on people who might be waiting for you. You can use it in rocket battles to try to just not be where they think you're going to be, change your momentum really quickly in a way that you couldn't do in Quake. So that adds a whole dynamic movement feel to the game that I like a lot. And, you know, the players who are pros at this kind of know all the tips and tricks and where to fire their rockets to get moving that way without the dodge. But for a lower skill player to have that dodge in your back pocket just expands your toolkit of how to interact exponentially.
Nice.
So I really, really like the dodge. The weird thing is, again, going back to some of the stuff feeling off. So the rockets are overpowered because once you figure all that out, if you're good with them, they're just too powerful right now. But the devs have said, we don't want to balance them back until we get the net code right. So they're trying to like fix the feel first and then they'll balance once, everything is kind of working the way it should. Cause some of that lagginess that you're feeling, is just the code isn't there yet. The net code isn't there yet.
Yeah.
So. It's a weird, like, you know, they could just dial back the rockets, but then it's probably going to be off whenever they fix the net code. So they let the unbalancedness linger for a bit. And they took it down. It ended literally today. And they're going to work on it for a month or two and then it should go into open beta. And, hopefully I'll see a bunch of people there because it's a really fun game.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's Diabotical. Any questions on that?
No. I mean, like that dodge feature sounds like something I've not really heard of in this kind of game.
Yeah, I think Unreal Tournament had something like that, but it sounds like this is much more sophisticated than what they had.
Yeah. Yeah, that in a sea of things that just don't feel quite there yet, which is allowed. Mm-hmm. It's a true beta. The dodge feels very much there. Some people have said like in the hands of a really high skilled player, it is, you know, gives them too much versatility. It makes them too hard to hit.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in the range that I'm playing, it is really welcome.
Yeah. But also that's going to flatten out over time too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear they put a cooldown on it, to, you know, kind of inhibit the, you know, bunny hopping effect.
Yes. Yeah, that is nice. And so you kind of, you know, use it to engage or disengage, but you can't use it for both. Cool. Then the final thing I broke down, my brother had been advocating I play it with him and bought Borderlands 3 on PS4.
Okay. Nice.
So been jumping into that. Like everyone has said, it's definitely more Borderlands, mm-hmm. but I like Borderlands and that's a good thing. I have been playing almost exclusively co-op, which is new for me. So I did a little bit of co-op on Borderlands 2, but not a significant amount.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of it, I've primarily played solo, especially Borderlands 2 VR, which didn't have the option. And so I feel like I'm getting this Borderlands experience the way it was meant to be for the first time here, even though I have a long history with the series.
Mm-hmm.
That's been a ton of fun. I'm playing the Operative on one game and the Siren on the other. So the operative's special thing is he can have two action skills. You sacrifice the ability to throw grenades for a second ability, which is really fun. So I've got a drone and a like a decoy to play with there. And then the siren, I have astral projection where I just fire forward a huge swirling ball of fists that takes everyone out. So
okay, that's good.
As dumb as it sounds, it's super fun.
Mm-hmm.
On top of all the good Borderlands 3 or Borderlands stuff. The biggest positive change that Borderlands 3 has brought was kind of surprising for me. It is the alternate fire mode on most weapons.
They didn't have that before?
They didn't have that before.
Whoa, that seems
and sometimes. Huh. Oh, yeah. So sometimes that's as simple as switching between full auto and semi-auto. Sometimes it's switching between the elemental damage that your gun does.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's as drastic as like switching over to a mini rocket launcher or a taser, or something more extreme like that. And I knew it was in there. I didn't really think about it. They really build the expanded skill tree as the big thing for Borderlands 3.
Mm-hmm.
But effectively what that alternate fire mode does is double the number of weapons in your inventory
at any time.
And certain weapons, I think it's Vladov is the like brand, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
Its thing is like they do more dramatic differences. So there's literally a weapon I've had where the regular fire is a sniper rifle and the alternate fire is a shotgun.
Just fun stuff like that. Wow. Like
super different. Go ahead.
I'm trying to think. Vladov, they're not the one where when you reload that you just like throw the gun away and it becomes a grenade?
No, that's Teodor.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the other thing that I like is the, you know, the like planet hopping story. So now you're not just on Pandora, you're going to all the planets, is bringing the different corporations to the forefront. At least the first planet that I've gotten to apart from Pandora is the homeworld of one corporation that's under invasion by another. And I really like that there has been stories for the megacorps in the background of all the games,
mm-hmm.
but this feels like it's really bringing them to the front in a way that creates unique worlds. And I really, really like that. So
nice.
Been fun to play on that front. The skill tree, which again, they build like, okay, you know, in the past, we were gonna, you know, we had some options. Now we have a ton of options for skill trees. That hasn't made as much of a difference as I thought it would.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way I interact with this is I go to the online like skill tree planner. I pick exactly what my path is going to be. And then it's just following that line. Once I start playing the game. So functionally, like I've already made all my decisions. I just got to go spend the points when I get there. And I'm curious, do you guys play that way or do you guys kind of move where the spirit leads as you're leveling up when you've got a RPG or a game that has skill trees?
If I can see what's at the end of different paths, I'll probably do a little bit more planning. Most of the time, though, I generally so many of these games, it's hard to plan for what's actually going to work. I would rather make the decision about how my character is going to level as I am learning how I like to play. So it usually is kind of following it from node to node, even if that ends up making me less than optimal.
Fair. Yeah. I think for me, it depends on the game that you're playing. Cause some of them have wider number of like trees you can go down for Borderlands in particular. I just pick a lane and go for it.
Yep.
Yeah. It depends for me on whether there's a respec function. So since Borderlands has almost free respecs, I tend to just play around a lot.
Yeah, they're kind of like a nominal amount of cash, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And for me, generally don't do upgrades at all. I try to roll as basic as possible in order to challenge myself. Oh, wait, shit, I already answered. No, okay. Whoop.
Yeah, that's the real Borderlands. No skills run.
And Borderlands
the no skills
SL...
run is the
Borderlands SL1 run.
Yeah. I was gonna say the no skills run is the all the skill run. But the one thing that has always frustrated me and continues to frustrate me is your inventory size is painfully low at the beginning of the game, and you can buy like extra slots to where eventually it doesn't get as bad. But you just have to be hyper aggressive about dropping or trashing lower tier stuff in a way that I don't like, because the Borderlands guns have never been about just finding the most powerful one, which they now each gun has just a numerical rank to make it easier to tell. So you don't have to compare like magazine size and damage and rate of fire. It's just one number now.
I am simultaneously like relieved to hear that, because from the little bit of Borderlands that I played, the loot system and doing comparisons on the fly was super overwhelming. But also, mm-hmm. I would really like to like see like a GDC talk, rest in peace, I guess. But just how they weighted the different aspects of it, especially when like the combinations of different, I mean, even just the combinations of different primary and alt fires, sounds like it would make each individual weapon like way more situational.
Yes. Well, and that's the problem is even all those numbers, and even if you have the best algorithm to aggregate them, can't communicate how the weapon feels. And that's right. So much more important. You know, mm-hmm. there's a on paper, very powerful sniper rifle I have, that you can switch between elements, corrosive and shock, which is super duper useful. And it's got a pretty high magazine size and a fast fire rate, and it fires 3 bullets at a time. So on paper, it's like fantastic. This mm-hmm. is going to be my go-to. I was so excited when I found it. In practice, however, 2 of the 3 bullets are in this like weird helix around the main bullet, and it's got a high travel time. Like the bullets actually move pretty slow.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. And for a sniper rifle, that's, you know, a death blow to the gun, not to the person you're firing at.
most definitely not the person you're firing at.
Yeah. And so, you know, that maybe they just need to add a projectile speed, stat to them, but that, you know, I got it. It looked like it was going to be amazing, and then worthless.
However, when you described this gun's like feel being bad, what mm-hmm. I wanted you to say was it has all these great stats, but when you fire it, the sound it makes is not like a big satisfying boom.
Oh.
It's just Gilbert Gottfried going pow.
Hey, there were guns like that in Borderlands too.
What? Really?
There was literally a gun where it would be like ba 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 ba. Oh, make mouth sounds.
Oh, fuck me then.
this is like Warframe level of they've done everything.
Yeah.
So do they do any better at actually giving you good guns? Because that was the big problem I had in the previous games, where I usually stopped playing, was at the point where like it's been so long since a usable gun has dropped that none of my guns are, you know, able to keep up with the level of enemies I'm fighting. Mm.
Yep. And yes, they do. And that ties back to my original complaint. For every gun that I pick up and I don't like, even though it's good on paper, there's another gun that I pick up and I love, even though there isn't anything that would have, you know, pointed to it being great. It's just you have to try it. One of the weapons that it gave me that I love is a shotgun with a wind up. Like you have to hold down the trigger for a bit before it actually fires, which you think, you know, a shotgun, you're in close quarters, fast moving. Why would you want that? But it winds up working. See what I did there? It winds up working great. I really enjoy it. Yeah. But it was a green weapon. Like it was one tier above common, and I almost trashed it without even trying it because the inventory is so tiny, going back to my original complaint.
Mm-hmm.
And it's clear, like it's abundantly clear that there's so much love and care and creativity put into the guns in this game, like it, rightfully so. That's the selling point. But if you're going to do that, if that's going to be the game's thing, you have to give me the space to play with these. And right now I just don't feel like I can, because the inventory size is so small. So that's my one gripe. And I spent a lot of time talking about it just there. I'm having a ton of fun with the game. You can buy expansions for your inventory, so that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But really, they really just need to start it out about double the size that it currently is, and scale everything accordingly in terms of how many items you can carry. Then I think I would be so much more happy.
I'm surprised that again with the wider upgrade that they're not making it so you can choose an upgrade that gives you more space like that.
Yeah. And then you can buy them. And that's honestly where most of my cash has gone.
Yeah.
But you upgrade 3 slots at a time. And I think it caps out at like 12 additional slots or something like that. I could be wrong. This is from memory on Borderlands 2.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if anyone that's played Borderlands 3 on this call knows how high you can get your inventory. But yeah, I just want to never hear your inventory is full.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty aggressive about selling off the stuff I don't want when I get back to a vending machine, but I'm hitting that full point pretty much every time I go out.
Borderlands is a game that desperately needs to add the ability to break your weapons down into their component parts.
Interesting. To get to kind of then craft guns, or at least random roll new guns. I could see that for random rolling new guns, and you like maybe get to keep one trait from one of the guns that you melt down or something like that. That could be a ton of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sure someone would figure out how to abuse it, but yeah.
I feel like though this is a co-op game, like abusing it is the point.
Yeah. That is true. And I have yet to see if you get to end game play, do you pretty much only wind up using the bespoke guns that are like, fixed drops from bosses or whatever. So far I've primarily been using random drops, but I'm also early on. So
no.
I like the randomness. I think that, again, because they've put so much love and care into the algorithms creating the guns, it works really well. Just needs a little room to breathe.
Nice.
Yeah, and that's me. That's what I've been playing.
Cool. Borderlands 3. I'm going to do mine because it's just going to be real quick. I've continued doing more Evil Within 2, but I don't know that I necessarily have an awful lot more to add to what I said last time. I'm still enjoying it.
Even the rough boss fight?
Yeah, the rough boss fight was nowhere near as bad as what happened to me in Evil Within 1.
Okay.
So I'm keep, it might be, that might not be the best criticism, but keeping in mind for the series, a boss that took me maybe 4 or 5 tries is nowhere near as heinous as like instant death every 10 or so minutes. So
yeah,
I'm still digging it. Ben, you were in the video. Did you have any other questions besides that?
No, that was the main part of what I saw. I mean, the game just looks so beautiful, though.
Yeah,
it's amazing that the game's not more popular than it is.
Like everybody that I've talked to, I mentioned it on Twitter, and like, oh man, that game rules. And I've not heard anybody really speak poorly of it. Like even if they were, bigger fans of the original than I was.
Yeah, it's like everyone played it, loved it, and then told none of their friends about it.
Yeah, who knows? It's definitely a success. Like it is kind of one of the best sequels I've seen in the space in a good long while. The other thing that I played, and again, my section here is going to be real quick because I don't know, this ended up being a 26-minute experience for me, but I played the Resident Evil 3 remake demo.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So people who kind of want an in-depth kind of look at that can go on Twitch. Like it's in the archives there for the next little while. You can watch my stream and it'll probably be up on YouTube here at some point. But yeah, they released the demo last Thursday and I streamed it. And I hadn't been paying a lot of attention to stuff coming out about it. I just kind of like, yeah, it's coming out in April. I am excited for it. I'm going to get it. I'm not going to read anything about it. Playing the demo, really, the demo served its purpose. I am really excited about this game. and they made a few different decisions on it. So it is surprising. They picked what feels like, if the plot of the remake follows the story of the first game, they picked a section from pretty far in, but like a third of the way through the game, as opposed to giving you just the start of the game, which not every demo does that. Like the RE2 demo was that half hour at the start. So I think that it was good because you didn't have you running right into the police station, which is kind of what would happen if you start at the beginning. But also, like, it demonstrated, you know, it really demonstrated how this is going to be different than RE2, which is a very claustrophobic, very limited experience. You're not really, like, interacting with or seeing very many people. You're not spending any real time on the streets. You know, with the exception of like one part in the middle. RE3, by virtue of the fact that the first half of it takes place the day before Resident Evil 2 and the back half of it takes place the day after Resident Evil 2, the first half of it has you like on the streets, and there are survivors, and there are lots of stores that you can go into that are not, like, you know, boarded up. The map feels, you know, much more open than it did previously. So even that,
Does it take place in Raccoon City?
Yes. Yeah, it is still, okay. Yeah, it's still the Raccoon City incident. And you're going to be spending time in the police station. I don't know how much compared to the original. but yes, it is in Raccoon City.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, so they do a good job of like demonstrating how this is, you know, different than RE2, even before you get to the things that are different about the way that Nemesis works in the game compared to Mr. X. And that was a thing that I was worried about, and the abilities that they demonstrate in the Nemesis encounter at the end of the demo make me super excited because he is just the worst.
Why do you say that?
Oh no, he's just super tough. Like, you know, in the original, like, you know, in the PlayStation version, like, he could attack you with like tentacles and stuff, but like in this one he can pull himself around. He uses the tentacles like a grappling hook to like get in front of you as you run away. It's a lot, and I'm really looking forward to fighting this guy. Yeah. I had fun, like, and I can't believe that it's going to be coming out in like a week and a half.
So, oh, I didn't know that either.
Yeah, April 3rd.
So, isn't Resident Evil 3 kind of historically been, you know, Resident Evil, that other one?
Yeah, so I think that it has definitely been redeemed somewhat in the time, you know, since after it came out. By the time that RE3 came out, you know, contemporaneously, survival horror in general was kind of long in the tooth. People kind of levied, I think, some pretty inaccurate complaints about RE3, that it either reused too much content — it didn't, you spend very little time in the police station — or that it didn't expand on the mechanics. They actually added quite a bit in terms of your moveset. You have a dodge, you have the ability to do like quick turns and things like that. It added branching paths in the story. It added ammo mixing and things that kind of became a standard, stuff like that. So it was kind of written off as being like, yeah, this is rushed out, this isn't a big enough improvement, why did they make this a numbered sequel and not like, you know, an expansion pack or whatever. RE3 actually owns it is really, really good. And so I think that, you know, this remake is going to be kind of updating a lot of people's kind of perceptions of it.
Good.
Yeah,
or second giving them brand new ones like me.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Any other questions about the RE3 demo? Mm-mm. Yeah, the only thing that I have to say about it, other than that, is that it was way too short. But then again, all that means is it left me wanting more. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, love it. Cool. Ben, it sounded like earlier you were alluding to the idea that you had more Jackbox to talk about. Yeah. You don't have to start with that, but I'm going to go to you just because you gave me an in.
I'll start with that. So I don't know if this happened a week ago or 2 weeks ago, because time is meaningless now, but I played Jackbox with my coworkers online. That went okay. This is why I asked you about your setup. The first time I did it, I streamed to Twitch for them. And we have like video chat on our work computers, so we were talking through that. And then I was streaming it from my computer, and they were playing it, like watching the stream.
Oh, yeah.
And that worked. It worked okay, but there was a bit of delay. And so I think we finally perfected it last night. Basically, what we did is just went through Discord, and we had the one person who was playing the game just display their screen.
Oh. And
then, Yeah, and we were all just doing video chat and just talking on the same channel, and that worked excellently.
Yeah.
So we played, so I also bought a Jackbox version finally over the past week. I bought three. I think six would probably be the next one that I buy. But three seemed to be a good one for now, since there's like two or three games that I think are pretty solid that different people can play. Mm-hmm. And then we played one of the You Don't Know Jack games. I think it was like the second one, the one where it's like very internet-y. Mm-hmm. And there's different rounds. I forget which Jackbox that's on, but somebody else had that. And then
that's five. The one that's like making tons of jokes about their like streaming service. Yeah,
it's like BingeTube or something.
Yeah,
like
binge pipe. Yeah,
yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so I played those two yesterday with friends. Yeah, it's the game is whatever. The socialization is great.
Yeah.
Being able to talk with like five or six people and have like a seamless experience, that part's really good. So I think there's probably definitely going to be more of that happening in the next month. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if we ever want to do something between us or stream something like that, I'd be 100% for it.
That'd be fun. Yeah.
But yeah, since these games are all old games, I won't really add too much to that other than it was fun. I did buy one of the shirts from TKO in our work group of it. Ooh. Just because we just made a fun inside joke about one of the services that we work on. So I was happy about that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Anyway.
Technical knockout.
I don't know what the TKO stands for, but all right.
Yeah, it's like it's letter TEEKO, like to like T-shirt knockout. And basically the idea is like you do different designs based on mismatched slogans that people write and, you know, things that people draw, and then they're put up against each other kind of like in a tournament kind of thing. So the rapper story for it is that there's like a martial arts tournament on an island, kind of like Mortal Kombat or whatever. But it's t-shirt designs and people are voting for their favorites.
Seems plausible.
It's a fun game. I like it quite a bit.
Yeah, that actually sounds fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially if you get a bunch of entries for like slogans. I think you can have like three or four options and stuff. And yeah, you can get some good stuff going. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, other stuff I've been playing, the one that's the meatier thing is I've been playing Death Stranding some more.
Cool.
The game continues to be fun. It's shifting more, so I'm doing more gameplay and less cutscenes all the time. Mm-hmm. It's still
how many hours in was that transition?
Maybe three or so. Maybe not too far. Okay. It's, I don't know. I mean, I don't have that big of a problem watching the cutscenes in the game. It's not, I don't think it's, the nice thing about it, the thing, like, think of it from a game point of view is, like, I think it's crazy how they have all these different features and being able to turn them on and off, like, on a dime. Because, like, they basically give you a tutorial for every feature in the game, and they just slowly keep adding them with, like, every mission or, like, every, like, dialogue scene. Even so much that it's like when you complete a mission, it'll say like, oh, these new options unlocked, like when you're going to like a 3D printer, and it might be something like, I don't know, just this like small minute feature of like, oh, I can now like make this basic resource or something like that. They do a really good job of like rolling out all the features of the game. So that part I like a lot. And there's a few points where they literally force you to do certain things so that you become familiar with it. And don't just like ignore some of the features of the game.
Yeah.
The graphics are really good on the game. Like, I know I'd seen it before, but playing it in person, like, it's a really impressively presented game. I don't know. It's just funny that you're playing a game where the main mechanic is just like moving around, like what your balance is and how you traverse the environment.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool. I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm not dogging on it at all. I think a lot of people had a backlash where it's like, what's the point of this game? But yeah. I mean, I think that by itself is enough. I like that aspect of it. There's been a couple of like hairy situations I've been in where there's like, the game will transition at certain points where it turns into a sneaking type game. And it's well like telegraphed and everything. But if you mess those up, it can get really scary.
Cool.
Because yeah. It's like, things go really bad really quickly. Things turn black. Whales start flying out everywhere. They got tentacles on them. It's terrifying. It's something that makes you like very scared. You really want to get out of the situation. So I like that aspect of it. Like, cause I don't even know how bad it gets if you like stick around the area. Yeah. So that part's all really cool. It's really cool that it's there, and but they don't like force you into it. It's like a door you can go into if you mess up.
Yeah.
And then I think the other thing I'll talk about is I finally unlocked the bike that you have in the game. Most recently. It's total game changer for like traversal. You can cover what took you like 2 hours in like 2 minutes now. So that part's really awesome.
Have you come across any structures that other people have put up for you?
Absolutely. Yeah, a lot.
What's the most useful one?
Probably bridges are really helpful. I know that I'll probably get more as I progress through the game, or like even more useful ways of getting around than that. But the way it works is like it's similar to like towers in games that you have to climb and turn on. You have to basically like turn on these power stations to connect them to this, like, I think they call it the Chiral Network, which is basically like their internet equivalent, but spooky Kojima internet, I guess. So when you turn an area onto that, then you can see all the different things that people have built in the area and different tags that they put in the area. Because as a person, you can put like, hey, there's these ghosts here, don't go, be careful, you know, or hey, there's rain here, so you want to be careful, or hey, there's shelter from rain here. By the way, rain causes like time distortion. If you get rained on, you turn old in this game. So that's why he has like a hood up and he's always trying to protect himself from the rain. This game's really weird. But it's really awesome. I don't know, it's I'm enjoying it. Is the long and short of it. I don't know. You can have a goofy amount of stuff on your back and then you stumble around everywhere. That's just funny. I don't know.
Yeah. It's really good to hear that there are those just kind of like what seem like minor system interactions, but feel very significant, because you feel like, oh, I'm surely the only person who has done these two or three things at the same time. And it feels like you feel taken care of by the development team because they showed you something special or cool or funny, you know? Yeah.
And I really am glad that I'm playing this game a couple of months after it's come out, because there's so many helpful things for me to get around now. It's like, oh, this is great. I don't have to struggle. It's amazing.
I'm a stranger anymore. Yay.
Yeah. What else? There's like other small features too. Like, some of the things that I've unlocked is I can build bridges across rivers. At the start of the game, you can't really do that. You have ladders and you have like ropes. And so you can kind of like set a ladder horizontally and kind of walk across the river that way. But you can build like full-fledged bridges now. After you get to a certain point, that's cool. Another like tiny little thing is you can attach like a song to a bridge. So if someone like walks across it, it just plays the song when they're near it. You know,
are these actual like pop songs from our world, or are they? Basically, what I'm asking is, can you put Maneater on them?
Yes. You can't put Maneater to my knowledge yet, but I won't be surprised if that's added later.
Okay.
A lot of them feel very akin to like kind of like a Japanese kind of like Yakuza almost game, where it's like some of them are like ballads, like J-pop type ballad type songs. But some of them, I think one of them's like a Diplo song featuring someone else, so it's kind of all over the map. It's not going to have the same like listing as like your Rock Band game probably, but there'll be some tasteful choices there. Guess is how I'll put it. There's some good bangers on it as well. But the game's just, I really enjoy it because it's like a breath of fresh air. It is completely unique. It does feel like a Kojima game. So in that sense, it does feel very reminiscent of like Metal Gear 5. Where it's just like, you know, a very bespoke game, and it has all these like really interesting systems going on with it. I don't know. Yeah. Enjoyable to play. It's better than I anticipated, I guess.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been really feeling a Metal Gear Solid 5 playthrough for about 2 years now, but
This might scratch that itch. Don't you already have this game? Or
I picked it up, but it ended up being backshelved because of assignment play, which is the story of my life.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, I'm really happy that you're enjoying it, and like the stuff that you're describing sounds really cool. Yeah.
No. Very Kojima. I'm very happy for Kojima that he's living his best life and free from a tyrannical corporation.
Tyrannical Konami, yeah. What I've appreciated about those, especially getting out from the hype and then the backlash, is that like as people just frankly describe what goes on in this game, it sounds like it's more for me.
Yeah.
You know? So I am grateful for your assessment.
Yeah, honestly, I don't know why there was a backlash on this game, because I don't know who'd be expecting like a AAA type shooter type game out of Kojima, I guess. You know,
at this point, especially freed from the franchise that he kind of resented by the end.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, I think it's probably just people. They were so far away from having any kind of handle for what this was that the default internet reaction is scorn.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like now that people have had a little bit of time to process versus just the knee jerk reaction, it's like, oh, okay, maybe this is good.
Yeah.
Oh, and did I mention you have a baby strapped to your chest?
Well, I mean, the baby lets you detect ghosts. It's only common sense.
Yeah, yeah. Duh. And there's controls in the game for you to look down at it, take it off your chest, and rock it with the controller. And it'll make sounds out of the volume of your controller.
You don't want the baby to cry. It'll attract the ghosts. Come on.
Yeah, I know. And he only cries around the ghosts.
It's like the finale of MASH.
Oh no.
Sorry. I was wondering if anybody would let me get away with that rough chuckle.
Oh no, yeah.
Wait, okay, I have to ask, what is the finale of MASH?
In the finale of MASH, Alan Alda's character, or somebody, I forget if it's Alan, somebody smothers a baby. It's just somebody in a tent as the, you know, the enemy forces roll in, basically smothers a baby trying to keep it from crying.
Oof. And that is totally for the show, at least the way I understand it. Like, I'm no MASH expert, but that's pretty dark for MASH.
Basically it turned full maudlin at the end. Like it was a lighthearted comedy about war, which is kind of more fucked up than a tragedy about war. But by the end, it made sense. Because it was in Vietnam, etc. I'm not going to be a MASH historian. I don't need to dance for you people. But yeah, I expected to get away with that one, and I'm kind of happy that nobody let me do that.
We do need someone to professionally follow you and like dictate what your references are sometimes.
Oh, geez. You played anything else besides Death Stranding?
No, that's it. That and Jackbox.
Cool. David, how about you?
Sure. So I've actually got a fair amount for me, because I'm normally the person who just plays the same game for, you know, months on end. But via the wonders of Game Pass, I tried out State of Decay 2.
Okay. Yeah.
Which this is basically a zombie game, kind of third person action game, but with very strong emphasis on building a community. So, you know, you have a series of survivors and you take control of one of them, and the moment-to-moment gameplay is, you know, you going out fighting zombies and gathering supplies. There's something like five different supplies, so it's like food, fuel, ammunition, building materials, medicine, something like that. There's also a significant base building component.
You need a stronghold, because like you find survivors, like this one's a doctor, this one's a lawyer, this one's a cash thief taking your money. Yeah,
right, exactly.
No.
And each of those you can play as, but also provide different skill sets. And one of the interesting things is a lot of the, you know, characters, there's a lot, very large number both of skills. So, for example, things from like, oh, this character specifically knows about, say, like plumbing, mm-hmm. so I can now get running water at my base.
Whoa, or, that's a big change from State of Decay 1.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was more basic in State of Decay 1.
Yeah, so this time there's basically, you have your four basic skills that are like, you know, shooting, cardio, things like that. Mm-hmm. And then each character can have one additional skill that's generally some form of knowledge. So either training as a doctor or, you know, knowing how to use computers, you know, carpentry, things like that. Then each of the skills, when they max out, you can, you're given a couple of options for what it can become. So for example, wits is the skill that's a combination of your ability to scrounge for things, mm-hmm. you know, search containers, that sort of thing, and then also stealth. And then once you max it out, you can either convert it to scouting, which, you know, focuses on kind of the scrounging aspects, or stealth, which, you know, focuses on the stealth. And so the end result of that is each of the fifth skills, you know, now have a specialty. So it might start out as like craftsmanship, mm-hmm. and then end up being either like metalworking or carpentry, maybe.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And can you like guide that by giving them different facilities?
So from what I can tell, when you max out the base skill, you're given, you know, two options and you can pick between either of them. But then it seems somewhat random. You know, some of them have more than two available options. And I think you're just given two of those available options. You can also either build a facility to train someone in a certain skill or find a textbook.
Okay.
The other thing is there's a whole bunch of different skills that are what I guess the community calls like one-star skills, because, you know, they can only ever get to level one, but then they have some sort of special, generally very useful ability.
Oh, so you don't have to sink a ton of experience into it in order to get use out of it.
Right, exactly. So, for example, one of my characters, instead of having a normal fifth skill, they have fishing, which supplies two food resources a day, which is pretty significant. That would basically be equivalent of if you like completely searched a, say, a restaurant area and then like took it over to be part of your community, which you can only take over a certain number of things, that would give you one food resource a day.
Mm-hmm.
So there's also a whole bunch of just weird traits. I think I've seen someone who their trait is they are a scrum master. And what? I have no idea what practical functionality that actually
do they run like super efficient meetings at the beginning of the week? Like,
so if I had to guess, one of the other kind of fringe resources is when you're doing stuff around your camp. So for example, you know, I've got attached to my farm, I don't actually have running water, but mm-hmm. I have water barrels. And so I can assign someone to fill them up. And so I basically have a additional renewable resource, which is how much labor I have.
Okay.
So if I had to guess, I would guess that Scrum Master might interact with that system.
Okay.
But there's
doesn't tell you the mechanical setup.
Say that again.
It doesn't tell you directly what the mechanical.
Not always. Not always. Yeah. And so one of the other things this system kind of plays into is there's a whole morale system, which, you know, different characters have different things that either upset them or make them feel comfortable. So, for example,
they're like Sims.
Yes, exactly. So, for example, I have one character that, like, really is not okay with the fact that my outpost doesn't have a watchtower.
Okay.
whereas I have other characters that, like, yes, we'd be, you know, obviously better off with the watchtower, but they don't actually care.
So it's like pet issues then.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I have another character that I get a bonus from the fact that my outpost does have an infirmary. You know, so things like that. There can also be different, like, personality things. So, basically certain characters are annoying. likewise, certain characters are less good at dealing with that. So the end result is you also have to manage kind of the morale in your base.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of really cool systems, some really interesting gameplay. The thing that is really kind of turning me off about it,
okay,
is that it has a lot of the missions are time limited, so you'll get a call from another group of survivors that they need help with something, mm-hmm. and then, you know, you have a certain amount of time to, you know, get over there and help. Otherwise, they'll just leave.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that's important is when you help groups of survivors, they basically become part of kind of your extended stronghold network. So they're not actually part of your team, but they provide bonuses.
Yeah, they're just like a resource, a passive resource, because they're out there. Yeah.
Right, exactly. But the problem is that there's also actual missions.
Right.
The issue is that your characters will basically build up fatigue over time, mm-hmm. and so you'll get to the point where they have virtually no stamina bars, so you borderline can't fight, can't sprint, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then until you switch out to another character.
I mean, is that a way for the game to encourage you to develop a deep bench?
Right, which is a good thing. The problem is that if a character gets a randomly assigned mission that is specifically related to their class.
And it'll be time limited. Yeah.
Well, and one, it's time limited, but for the regular missions, but for the class missions, if you switch to a different character, the mission is just straight up canceled.
Whoa.
Huh. So, and it's one of those things where, like, I'm just not sure why this mechanic exists, honestly.
It seems unnecessarily punishing if they don't let you back out of it.
Move on to something else,
yeah.
Similarly, the game has permadeath and, no ability to have save backups.
Yeah.
And so I would say overall, all of the decisions they've made with this sort of thing are reasonable decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a game that is desperately in need of fine-grained difficulty controls, because there's certain things that, like, I'm just not willing to deal with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, so, like, everything that you're describing, you know, the way you're describing this makes it sound like they have put so much emphasis on the, for lack of a better word, society building kind of thing. Like, the granularity that's happening here sounds like kind of a light version of Rimworld, actually, to me.
Right.
Yeah. You know, or just any of those, you know, Dwarf Fortress alikes. That feels not at odds, but it feels like it shouldn't. It does not follow that would be attached to, like, a third person. I'm going to go and do like a run on this on this area, you know, to do a mission kind of thing. Like, it just kind of sounds like they developed two divergent games and then put them together.
Yeah, I think there definitely is some truth in that. I do think they actually fit together overall actually pretty well.
Okay.
I think to a certain degree, you know, the problem I always had with, you know, I played EVE Online for a while.
Yeah.
And my overall feeling with that game was that it was basically a amazing crafting system that would have been great if they actually attached it to a game.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there's a certain degree of that in that, you know, the actual, you know, action gameplay sort of provides a way to, I guess, exercise all the decisions you're making.
Mm-hmm.
You know, similarly, it also serves the purpose of it's very difficult to actually make a self-sustaining community. So yeah. I actually happen to have a self-sustaining community right now, but the only reason that's the case is I have the one guy that provides 2 free food a day and another person that provides 2 beds a day.
Yeah.
If it was actually according to, you know, the base I'd actually built, it would not be self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
And so this provides an avenue for forcing kind of the gathering aspects that are part of the, you know, kind of the zombie narrative,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So the way I've heard this described, and I don't know anything about this to know if it's accurate, but have said that this is very much kind of if they made The Walking Dead into a game that was actually about The Walking Dead.
Or like a game that was not just that was not an interactive story, but like took the ideas of privation and resource management and probably like hard choices about whether to leave an individual behind and made that into
say it was actually about The Walking Dead, in that my understanding is that The Walking Dead, the comic book, has a much greater focus on those things than the actual story of The Walking Dead Telltale games, just because of like what story in that world they happen to choose to tell.
I mean, it all pretty much comes down accurate? It all pretty much comes down to, and you know, I've only read I'm probably like 20 issues behind on the comic. It all pretty much comes down to the zombies are less of a concern than people.
Sure.
So mm-hmm. Yeah. But it sounds like this is more, you know, you're not dealing with like raiders or like, I don't know, I'm making an assumption here, but you're not dealing with enemy camps that happen to be like more fascistic than yours or something. You're kind of always dealing with the dead themselves.
So those can exist.
Okay.
So far, I've not had very much interaction with that,
mm-hmm.
but those definitely can exist. Also, one of the things is kind of the, I guess, if you wanted to say sort of roguelite, you know, between game progression systems is eventually you'll promote one of your characters to be the leader of your group.
Mm-hmm.
And there's 4 different leader archetypes. They're basically builder, trader, sheriff, and warlord.
Okay.
Warlord is basically just straight up like, we are going to be the raiders.
Yeah, yeah.
And sheriff is basically like, the point of this run is to hunt down the raiders.
Right, right.
Huh. So like those mechanics do exist, however, they aren't ones that I've engaged with a lot.
it feels like this game is willing to let you do the zombie apocalypse however you want.
Yeah, yeah, I think that would be accurate. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Huh. I don't know that I have any other questions about that. Did you have any other thoughts on State of Decay 2?
No, I think that's most of it. I also picked up, I've been playing The Surge 2. However, I've been going for a while, so I think maybe it might be best to leave that till next time.
Yeah, yeah, let's do that. Also, I am currently playing through The Surge 1. Cool. Yeah, we're doing it for Bonfireside Chat. So I would like to have, I will definitely have played more of it by next week. So I would like to have questions to bounce off of you about that rolls around. Yeah.
I want to throw out one thing. Happy belated birthday, David.
I meant to do that at the beginning, but we got talking about COVID stuff. Yeah.
just COVID things.
Jeez, that's the worst meme.
We can only talk about one thing that ends with VID, and it was COVID instead of David.
Yes. Happy birthday, David. You're what, 32?
Yep.
Cool, cool. All right. Yeah. Well, I hope that you had fun. Were you able to do anything for it, or was it, I mean, I didn't mean to like inadvertently do a bummer.
Sorry. No. Honestly, no. Also, strictly speaking, the origin of birthdays is that according to Roman astrology, your birthday is supposed to be the worst day of the year for you.
Ooh.
And so you have a party to make it suck less.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, to be fair, like, this was just on point. No, like, actually, things were not bad at all. I mean, I didn't do anything in particular, but, mm-hmm. you know, just got hung.
Cool.
Nothing was actively negative against you, I guess.
Exactly.
Gosh. Yeah. Well, happy birthday, man.
Hey, likewise.
Cool. I know what you mean.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and then you answer it. Hey, Dennis, what is the topical question that you ask the nice people?
Yeah, since this is the thing of the day, I guess.
I mean, we've been talking about this for 6 weeks.
So. Every email that I get from anyone that is not a company,
right?
Or excuse me, any email I get from a company is COVID is in the headline.
Yes. Yeah. I know.
Oh, here's a reason.
I fucking know.
I don't care what you were doing. Literally, car dealership that I bought my car from 8 years ago. I don't care.
The headline is COVID's in the headlines, and we want you to know that we take it seriously.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that shit.
All right. Anyway, so that digression over.
Okay.
So if games weren't your primary way of hanging out with friends before, they sure as hell are now. What are your favorite games for just hanging out?
Yeah, and I'll get us started here with Lindsay, who says, all the Borderlands games and also the new Wolfenstein. My friend got the Buddy Pass for Wolfenstein, so I can't wait to try it out. For my social distancing, I bought Doom Eternal. Let quarantine begin.
Nice.
Yeah, man, I want to play Doom Eternal so bad.
Yeah, we're kind of missing out on the hot games that have come out in the past.
A little bit, okay. Yeah.
As is our way. Mm-hmm. The idea of the Buddy Pass is so good, mm-hmm. and I just always forget that it exists. But
that's how we did a way out, wasn't it, Ben?
With that game, it's just built into it that only one person needs to own it.
Gotcha, mm-hmm. Yeah. No, but yeah, Wolfenstein Youngblood came out at like not the right time for this, because there's never a right time for, you know, thousands of people to die. But my point stands. Wolfenstein Youngblood would be a good game to play right now if you had a buddy you hadn't talked to in a while. Mm-hmm. I think I saved that one.
Well, I can second the Borderlands.
Yeah.
Borderlands games.
You know who can third it is David. But Ben, what does David say?
David says Borderlands 3. Turns out a silly, big, and dumb shooty game is just what my friends need right now. Just don't ask us what's going on in the plot. Too busy cracking jokes and beers in equal measure. Stay safe and well, gang. Stay safe and well, gang.
Same to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this, by the way, this is a point of stress for me. I have one character that I'm playing solo and then one co-op. Mm-hmm. And I feel obligated to keep the solo one ahead of the co-op so I can actually know what the hell is going on.
Yeah.
And I'm failing miserably at doing that.
Right.
See Divinity Original Sin 2.
David, what does Ali say?
Ali says, I love hosting and playing Jackbox with my friends. Most of the games are absolute blasts to play, and they can be played with minimum investment and quote-unquote cross-platforms, so to speak.
It's great, like the structure that they have with Jackbox.tv and just being able to play it on your phone is one of the most genius things that has happened in video games. And like any of those end of decade wrap-ups or whatever, where everybody was talking about Souls and Minecraft, and they didn't talk about, if they didn't talk about Jackbox being just a revelation that more people and more game companies need to measure or need to match, they were wrong about how important that is.
Which is funny that we have not seen it copied.
Right. Well, you know, it's a it's a very good, very good scheme. I didn't mean to come out like spicy talking about what game companies should do there, but that's just how I feel.
That's where we're at now.
Yeah. Hey, Dennis, what does Chris say?
He says, Animal Crossing has been good. It's a happy place to just walk around and chat when we can't in real life. The Jackbox games have been good, too. Did this on Saturday, and it was a nice way to remotely hang out with friends and their families.
Nice. Ooh, their families. Yeah. I can't imagine playing Jackbox with a kid in front of me.
The later games have a family-friendly mode on, where at least the prompts are non-provocative.
They're not going to tempt people, and I mean it doesn't stop them, but
yeah, I was gonna say does not help one bit in my experience.
I don't remember any of them being particularly questionable. Maybe that just says something about me, but
some of them do. There are certain questions that relate to kind of racy kind of things or drugs and stuff.
One thing I found out, too, is if you're streaming this on Twitch, you need to blank out the screen when it has the game code on it.
Yes. And also,
how is it bots? Like, how are people so good about finding rooms to invade?
I mean, so what you need to do is put it in, like, just chatting or whatever. If you're playing with friends, if you put Jackbox in as the title, you will get randos coming in who really, really, really want to flood you with their troll humor.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that would be my recommendation. Like, if you guys are doing this on Twitch, put in just chatting. There's no Twitch cop who will stop you. And if they do, tell them I sent you.
And it's another reason, and like,
ask them if they're a Twitch cop, because they have to tell you.
Doing it on Google Hangouts, just if you know the group of friends you're going to play with, is great as well.
Yeah.
And avoids the Twitch problem.
Yes.
Same thing with Zoom, but I think you need like someone with a paid account for that.
Yeah. Zoom is more enterprise. I was actually surprised that you were doing it that way.
Yeah. Well, just because I have access to it. You do need to choose to share audio. It took me a bit to figure that out.
Right.
I am deeply disappointed, as a side note, that Zoom, you know, has all the cool, you know, green screen stuff you can do and stuff like that, and it works really well, but they have no ability to do, like, color overlays.
Oh, well.
I had set myself up with a whole, like, film noir style, like, green screen thing beside me, but there is no way to make my camera do black and white.
Oh, geez. Let's see here. Patrick writes, if we aren't talking just video games, my big one is now tabletop RPGs using Roll20 for the game and Discord for voice and chat. But video games-wise, it's Destiny 2, since we don't take it serious when we play. That last part seems to be the big thing here, is a theme that I'm noticing, is like the hang takes precedence, and the game just happens to be an interesting thing you can do with your hands.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Roll20 is a really, really cool system.
I feel like we've been talking about Roll20 for the entire run of the show, and it's miraculous that it has stayed up and stayed good. I have nothing to add on top of that, but
no, it's one of those things where I kind of always I've circled around it. I've never actually used it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've heard nothing but good things. And for something to be that unanimously praised, suspicious in my mind.
Got to be hiding something.
I think one of the big things that it plays off of is the fact that, at least with specifically Dungeons & Dragons, the game rules are open source.
Yeah.
So it's able to build in, like, and have all of the spell rules and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Already set up for you.
Nice. So it's not up to the DM to do all the heavy lifting, right, as regards exactly. changing state and stuff. Yeah. Ben, what does Mike say?
Mike says, my friends who live one province over and I used to play Left 4 Dead as a platform for hanging out. It was great for catching up, talking about our kids, etc. When one of our group would suddenly yell, smoker! Or, witch, turn off your lights! In the middle of a conversation.
That's great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh man, I got a hankering for some Left 4 Dead. Actually, it's been a very long time since I played that.
I really want to try GTFO. Looks like,
oh yeah, yeah, that new kind of takeoff of it. Yeah,
yeah, it's oops, all witches.
Yeah,
yeah. Dave, what does Greg say?
Greg says, I play a lot of slower based sim games or 4X games like Civ, Stellaris, and Crusader Kings with friends. It's a great way to chat in-game as you're waiting for others to finish their turns.
It's fun. Yeah, so you're catching up as they're doing, like, just galaxy-wide subterfuge against you.
I mean, this functions like a lot of board games that are competitive. Is whoever's turn it is like really thinking and maneuvering,
yeah.
And everyone else, like, you can only plan so far ahead when the other people in front of you haven't gone.
Right,
so
right.
Makes it easy to have conversations.
Yeah, Dennis, what does Martinus say?
He says Minecraft is really up there. It's been the go-to evening game for the gang these past couple of weeks. Just hanging out on Discord, shooting the shit while building stupid things in Minecraft is incredibly entertaining.
I've seen a lot of people doing more Minecraft stuff under quarantine. You know, they're posting GIFs or just talking about it on Twitter. That sounds really comforting right now, actually.
I could see that for sure.
Yeah. I don't have anything to add on top of that. That just sounds nice to me.
You gotta wonder, like, the servers where people have been building forever, mm-hmm. Where people have kind of big, serious projects that they want to go after have to be interesting, because it's like suddenly people have so much more capacity to go after it. I'm sure that cities have been erected.
You just have thousands of people building the logic to just make their own Tetris games.
Yeah.
Did you see the whole thing with censorship or whatever?
No, what was that?
I didn't see the details of actually what headline it was. Or I'm sorry, I only saw the headline. I didn't see the details of what country it was, but apparently an activist in some country, basically to protest censorship, built like a massive library of subversive material in Minecraft.
pending further details, I need to know what state it was and what exactly was subversive about it. That's cool. And then finally here, Stuart writes, Smash Brothers has been a lot of fun. Doing little arenas with friends, being serious and being goofy in equal measure. Animal Crossing for my partner. She had 5 friends come over to her island yesterday, and they all felt better for the time that they spent getting bitten by tarantulas. Don't we all?
That's the hallucinogenic poison.
Yeah.
I hate to tell you, you're about to die.
Ooh, that's been a good run. So... yeah, no, I don't have anything to say about Animal Crossing. I'm happy people are getting joy from it in these trying times. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean my answer is real basic. Like, Jackbox has been super fun doing it with the DuckFeed community. Hanging around with people who have good sense of humor is very fun, and expressing it through the rules of a game is also a good time. Additionally, just when I have popped into Discord when Gary's been doing Dark Souls randomizer streams, just talking with him and Will, that's been fun, but that's kind of like half bonding over a game and half us making content, so I'm not sure how much that counts. Yeah. But that's my answer. Go ahead, bud.
For my answer, this one happened in last week and I forgot to mention it in the grind, but I did a Magic draft online with some friends that I only know virtually through like Twitch and stuff like that. But there's a website you can go to where you can do like a virtual draft of different sets. So we did that. And then we built whatever deck we drafted on that website, we carried over to Magic Arena and we built that deck there. And then we challenged one another directly and just did like our own tournament. But we, same as a lot of these other stories, we did this all on Discord as far as like talking to one another. We made separate channels in Discord for each of the matches. You were talking just with your opponent, you know?
Nice.
It was a lot of fun. And then some of the people streamed themselves playing or whatever. So you could go in and watch other people after you're done with your match.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was a lot of cool. It was a lot of fun. Sorry.
It was much cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds great. David, how about you?
I think my go-to is maybe Guild Wars 2. It's been a while, but I've found that's a really good game for just kind of running around and, you know, mess around and adventuring.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like too many games nowadays focus on action and too few focus on adventure in terms of like the multiplayer open world games.
It's tough to have repeatable adventure, I guess.
Yes.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Left 4 Dead pulls it off a little bit.
Heaven and forbid game companies actually make content.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Sorry. Didn't mean that to be snarky.
Oh, yeah. So how about you, Dennis?
Yeah, Jackbox, obviously. That feels like a common answer.
Yeah.
And then Borderlands 3 recently has been a lot of fun. As long as I can stay ahead of my damn solo account.
Cool. Well, this is a good question. Apropos, and I think that people can use this as a suggestion. If you have not played Left 4 Dead or Minecraft, it might be a good idea. What else are you doing besides cooking for your family, taking care of each other, taking care of your kids, trying to work, getting used to a whole new way of living, all that kind of stuff. In between all of that,
off raiders.
Yes, in between, and also like giving yourself like, you know, real cool like spiked hair and spiked leather clothing, and you know, carrying around like spiky chains.
The steampunk / cyber goth community is having a field day.
I think I saw you post a picture of somebody in full on BDSM gear and I was here for it. Yeah.
There's a scene in Schenectady, New York, by the way, that takes place like in 2040 or something like that. And there's stuff like that in the background. So maybe that'll come true.
I only watch Schenectady, New York when I'm depressed, so I will avoid watching it again until I'm depressed again. So thank you, everybody.
It's a tough movie. Sorry.
Yeah, it is, man, just the idea that like 4 years will pass in a day. Anyway, thanks for participating, everybody. If you'd like to throw in on these, go to facebook.com/thelevelpodcast and watch for the prompts to go up on Monday afternoons.
The end boss.
Now it is time for the end boss, where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games that are exciting to us for some reason or another. I will do one real quick, but this is something that I am excited about, pursuant to something I talked about in the grind. So Resident Evil 3, the remake, will allow players to do a knife-only run through the game. So in like knife-only runs have been a thing, you know, at least, you know, in the first four or so Resident Evil games, doing a challenge where you try to kill everything with the weakest possible weapon, except in Code Veronica, where it was like weirdly the most powerful weapon if you knew how to use it. Regardless, RE2, the remake, kind of nerfed the knife nerf the knife to a degree where it had durability. You could only use it so many times, and its primary use was as an emergency, like, oh shit button. If a zombie grabbed you, your character with a button press would pull the knife out and then stab the zombie in order to stop it from biting them, and then you would have to kill them in order to get the knife back. In RE3, presumably because Jill is more experienced, having been through the events of RE1, you just have a knife that you carry around, and it is equipped as a regular weapon. And she has, like, more moves and, like, combos with it and stuff. It's actually, like, weirdly effective. You know, good.
So in 2, do you just, like, what, stab them and let go? Or, like...
Yeah, it gets stuck in the bone.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, that's the way that it looks based on where you stab them and stuff.
That makes sense.
But yeah, no, just with the changes that they have made, the way the knife and presumably other melee weapons work in RE3, it will be available for people who opt to do challenge runs. Now, I'm not a person who does challenge runs in these games, but it's cool that they're enabling this, and it feels like it matches kind of the move from RE2 to RE3 and making it kind of more about, you know, action and skilled play, as opposed to, you know, dread and overall horror, right? Nice. So, enabling people to play the game like they wanted to in a remake that is mostly about nostalgia anyway, is a good thing. And that's why I'm excited about this.
It sounds like they just tried to make it really hard in Resident Evil 2, and the players weren't up for the task.
Ooh! It's zoinks.
Shots fired. Except not, because it's a knife.
Right. David, what's happening? Vis-a-vis racing and going in circles and such.
Yeah, so in kind of a interesting response to the corona plague, the, you know, all of the various auto racing circuits, you know, NASCAR, Formula One, presumably there are formulas after one, I don't know, but they were all canceled. However, there's, you know, a thriving, you know, auto sim racing. So in effect, you know, kind of the race car equivalent of, like, a pilot's, you know, flight training simulation.
Yeah. Like, iRacing is one of these. People can spend a lot of money both on setups and on just, like, overall content for these really realistic simulations.
Right, exactly. And using this, one of the guys who, I guess his day job was, he was a spotter for NASCAR, which is basically each of the drivers have someone, you know, generally at a race location that's kind of giving them the lay of the race and, you know, where they need to go, that sort of thing.
Yep.
That was his day job, and when they got canceled, he decided to call around and see if some of the drivers would be interested in competing in some of these, you know, like, I think actually specifically iRace events. And so now, over the weekend, they put on a series of races, and they were really well received.
Oh.
And so now they're looking at, you know, maybe doing this as sort of a kind of a stopgap measure for, you know, people that want to, you know, watch some auto racing, but, you know, can't because it's canceled.
Yeah.
It's also, I'm not sure about if this particular story covers it, but I was reading some commentary on this on Hacker News, and people were talking. Apparently, there's been several cases where, you know, in these cases, the drivers and the, I guess, not pro gamers, but, you know, kind of enthusiast gamers have generally been pretty evenly matched. And likewise, apparently there's been a couple of instances where they've taken one of these gamers and, like, had them actually race, and they actually performed pretty well.
Huh.
Yeah, the simulations are that good. Like, I completely believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, you don't know, it's the internet, but, you know, someone posted basically saying, you know, hey, I used to do, you know, drive Formula One and, you know, now I'm doing this. And they claim that it sounded like the biggest difference was just like the G forces, that you don't have to deal with, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. Just the overall physical experience.
Right. But, you know, my understanding is from a technical experience, kind of like you alluded to, you know, people build these rigs that are, you know, just, you know, it's like when you see people build the Microsoft Flight Sim,
you know,
setups. Yeah.
Nice.
So also, just a quick hit, because to a significant degree, it's kind of just a, you know, this is a thing, but, Dennis actually brought to my attention, there's been a single screen released from the upcoming Stalker 2.
Okay.
Despite the fact that GDC went out of business, they are now out of business, and apparently will be releasing Stalker 2 in a couple of months.
What?
So they, released
a GSC.
GSC, I'm sorry. What did I say?
You said GDC. Yeah.
Oh, my bad. Yeah. Anyways, so this image, you know, shows apparently a new location that appears to be kind of a more conventional forest type setting,
mm-hmm.
and then also shows a new anomaly, although not any details. Only concern here with this is they say that this is going to be built using the Unreal Engine, and one of the things that made the original so cool was the custom X-ray engine they built for it is, you know, much more technologically advanced than any engine that I've even seen today. So I'm hoping they're still able to bring over some of those features that made the game unique, in particular the actually having AI.
Yeah, yeah, just the fact that it kept track of like basically a whole game world worth of state at once in a very improbable way for the era. Yeah.
No Man's Sky is like, bitch, please.
Well, I mean, when you don't have gameplay, it's easy.
when you don't have gameplay for a while, let's be fair.
When you don't have gameplay and then you copy Subnautica. Yeah.
Who's spitting fire?
Yeah, I didn't know Subnautica had the organic spacecraft.
We're not going to pick this fight. Oh man, yeah, I was very curious to see that they came out with a sign of life, and I didn't look at it because I was like, I'll wait until it's closer to release. My big what was like, wow, 2 months seems very ambitious.
Yeah, I don't know, I forget exactly how long they said, but they said, you know,
no,
I think just a couple months from now.
To go from,
don't they understand? Oh, go ahead.
To go from all we've seen is a screenshot to, hey, here's the game, is very weird.
Yeah, that's the formula these days, right there. Is, you know, announce the announcement for the announcement.
Right,
okay, yeah. I'm up on that, and then
I'm really sorry. I apparently spoke of turn. It's a 2021 release date. My bad.
Ah. That's much more.
Recently. Oh, okay. I think what I saw is it was announced in May of 2018. I think I read that as it will be released in May.
Gotcha.
Okay.
That's understandable. Yeah.
As with everything here, time is a construct and meaningless. So yeah, same thing.
I'm just like money. Ben, what's going on with those crazy folks over at Valve not making video games anymore?
So here's the deal. I didn't read the article because I don't want to spoil Half-Life Alyx for myself.
Well, the article that you posted is a review. So
the only facts I wanted to share is the article title is Half-Life Alyx is the best that VR and Valve has to offer. Mm-hmm. And IGN gave it a 10 out of 10. And yeah. I don't want to spend $2,000 on a video game. So I'm very sad. So,
oh,
you like the best that VR and Valve has to offer, like that statement could go either way very badly.
VR is a low bar, but Valve is a high bar.
They're both now. Pretty high bars. There's very good stuff on both. Yeah, no, I'm excited to play this. I didn't buy a VR helmet specifically for this. It just kind of worked out that way. I got the Oculus Quest because, like, oh yeah, this looks really cool. I thought, oh yeah, I can totally play Half-Life Alyx on this. So, like, I've got my office arranged in such a way that I can do this now with the proper amount of space to play some Half-Life Alyx, probably in about a month when I'm not chugging through assignment play. Or screaming at Twitter. No, I mean, I'll keep on screaming at Twitter, but...
Also, Texas Lieutenant Governor says, I'm all in on risking my health to lift social distancing guidelines for economic boost.
No, when you do that, you're all in on risking everybody else's health. You fucking psychopath.
Yeah.
Sorry. I saw that too. So, anyway...
It's revealing something where it's like, oh, maybe we shouldn't put people in power who value money more than human lives.
That yeah, seems like that that thing. Should be like a, just a basic test you do.
I feel like it's even more disturbing to me in that, like, this is getting to the point of we value the concept of the economy more than human lives. Like, these are people being like, I'm cool with dying. As long as I can help that capitalism.
They value business with a capital B as defined by short-term gains for a small amount of people over the next quarter more than they value the economy, which is the overall prosperity of a nation, and more definitely more than they value either life or a life without misery. Right. Definitely a life without misery falls at the bottom of that because we live in a fucking death cult. Hey guys, do you want to button it up?
Buttons.
The credit. I don't want to see how much more the angry meter goes. So we should call it a night.
Yeah. Thanks everybody for watching. I'm sorry I got kind of ugly there. It's just it's real rough. It's very rough. It's a rough time for injustice. Go ahead. What?
As part of our post show role. I want to double down on this. If anybody needs like food or something, ping podcast. I am more than willing to send pizzas to people if they're. That's, I give that as an example because it's an easy thing to send to people. But
definitely. Let us know.
Yeah, please do. If you're in a rough situation, we'll try and work something out. Dennis, I realized I didn't cut to you because I did the joke about the smash cut. You didn't have a story, did you?
No, we covered it in the stalker.
Gotcha. Cool.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
No, it worked.
The story was I want David to talk about the story.
Yes. Okay.
That was the most alpha swooping we've seen on the show. I am not just taking your story. I'm taking your story.
Yes, I am assigning you a story but before the episode we post our story in the chat. In our backstage Slack channel, we're off the rails right now. Thank you so much for listening. I really hope that you're taking care of each other and taking care of yourself. It's fucking rough out there. The highest calling any of us can have is to lift the burden for others. And to do that, you have to take care of yourself as well. So, you know, in lieu of doing any kind of big PSA or in lieu of doing any kind of like call to action about our, about anything for our stuff, just want to let you know, we're all in this together.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get through it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. So I've been Cole Ross. You can catch my streams. It's a fun time. If you want to hang out, if you're finding yourself bored, unable to go out on like weekend nights, join me there. I'm on Twitch, Duckfeed TV.
Yeah. I've been Dennis Furia. I'm at Deck of Wonders on Twitch and I should be trying to do more Jackbox style stuff in the near future.
Cool.
I'm David Meismith and I'm going to retaliate against Dennis's alpha swooping by forcing him to teach me how to stream. So maybe I'll be on Twitch at some point.
I've been Ben Merkel, and you can see silent Jackbox streams on my channel at Merkel Beyond Twitch. Because I'll be talking with other people somewhere else.
Oh, but they still get to see the punchlines and stuff, so that's good.
That's true, and they can be the audience. So, yeah.
Cool. Stick around for some titles. Okay, who has titles?
I have one.
Okay.
All I had was Twitch, please.
Stylized with a comma in the middle?
Yeah, why
yeah,
not?
Yeah, okay.
Not a hyphen?
Twitch, please. Let's see,
oh,
Dennis.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Twitch police.
Oh, yeah. Twitch police.
Like the cops.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. I thought you were doing like a bitch please kind of thing. Okay. Man, I feel very, very uncomfortable saying that word. That's weird.
That's a good thing, by the way.
Let's see here. Dennis, what'd you have?
Yeah, I just had one. It was a lot of cool.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man, that's good. I like that. Yeah. But Ben, what'd you have?
I have no titles, and I'm regretting that now.
Uh-oh. I only had two. I had more indifference, and then I had all skill run. I like it was a lot of cool quite a bit.
Yes, I'm a fan.
Ben, are your feelings going to be hurt?
No, my feelings won't be hurt.
Okay.
It was a lot of dumb on my part.
So. I like it. It is a very, in a lot of ways, it is a very standard level kind of title, but also it is comforting, and I like that. So, cool. That's all that I have. Yeah. I don't know.
I
hope you all have a good week. You let me know if you need anything, okay?
Text if you guys want to do games or something at some point.
Yeah.
Oh, always. Definitely.